Today is Resurrection Sunday, April the 4th, 2021. And if you would, please take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was without question the greatest event in the history of mankind up to that point. And Jesus Christ in his resurrected body was seen by many, many people, starting on that first Sunday morning. And there are a number of records in the Bible that tell who saw him that morning. The women returning from the tomb, Mary at the tomb, the two guys on the road to Emmaus, the apostles, and really we don't know how many people saw Jesus Christ during those 40 days after he was resurrected, before he ascended into heaven. But we have this record in 1 Corinthians 15, and in verse 3, Paul says, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Boy, isn't that wonderful? Sometime during that 40-day period, there was a meeting with the resurrected Jesus Christ, a meeting of over 500 people. Man, wouldn't you have liked to have been in that meeting? Or any meeting with the resurrected Christ. I mean, I would have liked to have been with the two guys on the road to Emmaus, right? So, obviously, before he ascended into heaven, Jesus Christ was not hiding out someplace. Rather, he was out with people, serving, teaching, and ministering. And after he ascended, Stephen saw him. It says in Acts 7, he appeared to Ananias, Acts 9, and even to Paul, verse 8, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and many people saw the resurrected Christ. And the resurrection, that was the main message they preached in the first century. And so if you go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, on that Sunday morning, in Luke chapter 24, verse 1, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. These would be angels. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Don't you remember he told you that? And I believe you can find that in Matthew 17. So the angels reminded them of what Jesus had said. And verse 8 says, and they remembered his words. Oh yeah, he did say that. And they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Oh, come on, go sit down. Stop it, will you? Just saying you saw angels and all this stuff. Come on. Then, verse 12, arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed wondering in himself. Now there's another record of Peter in John chapter 20 that we're going to look at. John chapter 20. And look at verse 3. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he, the guy that beat Peter, guess he could run a little faster, he stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulcher and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. So in Luke's gospel, Peter saw the linen clothes laid by themselves. Here in John's gospel, it says that Peter saw the linen clothes lie and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. This very specific detail, it's often overlooked in John's gospel, but it sets there like a sparkling gem if you understand the burial customs in the time of Jesus. Through the centuries, and of course even today, different cultures have various burial customs. There were a number of Jewish burial customs in the first century, and according to James Freeman, his book Manners and Customs of the Bible, one of those was to wrap or wind the body in fine linen, putting spices in the folds. The napkin was a handkerchief which was employed to tie up the chin of a corpse. Now, there's a record in John's gospel here that helps us understand that what Peter saw when he went in was absolutely astounding. So we'll come back to this in a minute, but take a look at John chapter 11. This is the record, we're not going to read the whole record, but this is the record of when Lazarus died. Lazarus was a great friend of Jesus Christ. His sisters were Mary and Martha. And so Lazarus died, and then Jesus arrived on the scene. Verse 38, Lazarus has been dead now for 4 days. Verse 38 of John 11, Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks. He's been dead for 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto you that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face, look at this, his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. I want to tell you something. The people that were present there that day witnessed something that they would never forget, ever. It says that Lazarus came forth and he was bound head and foot, you know, with those grave wrappings, because he was wound. And it said that his face was bound about with a napkin. When they buried Lazarus, as was their custom, he was wrapped with fine linen and also had a napkin put about his face. That's pretty obvious from reading this record that as Lazarus is coming out of this cave, he had some difficulty in walking. You know, that's why Jesus Christ said, loose him, you know, unwrap him and let him go. Well, after Jesus Christ died and was buried, on that following Sunday morning, some women went to the tomb, and then, as we've read, Peter also went to the tomb. So let's go back to John 20 and look at those two verses again about what Peter saw when he went inside. John chapter 20, verse 6. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. When Peter went into the sepulcher, he saw two things. He saw the linen clothes, and he saw the napkin. And the napkin was not with the linen clothes. He saw the grave wrappings, and he saw the napkin. That napkin which would have covered Jesus' face. The scriptures give us this important, specific detail about the napkin. It says it was not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Young's literal translation has verse 7 like this: and the napkin that was upon his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but apart, having been folded up in one place. And this detail is very significant, because the scriptures do not say that the grave wrappings were folded together and off someplace, just the napkin. Peter saw the napkin folded, and it was not with the grave wrappings. He also saw the grave wrappings, and God's word tells us that they were just lying there. The grave wrappings were untouched, still wound. Peter saw an empty shell. Isn't this just awesome? When God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, Jesus didn't need to be loosed or unwrapped like Lazarus. Jesus Christ simply came right out of those grave wrappings. Those wrappings remained right where they were laid when his body was inside them. And then, you know, the napkin was, you know, folded together and off to the side someplace. What an awesome sight to behold. Peter's looking at an empty shell. And think about this. Peter was one of the eyewitnesses of Lazarus being raised from the dead not too long ago. Peter had that memory of Lazarus coming out of the cave all bound up and wrapped, needing someone to get him loose, unwrap him. But here in the sepulcher where Jesus was laid, Peter saw the empty grave wrappings of Jesus. Not folded and off to the side like the napkin was, but he saw the grave wrappings just lying right where they were when the body was inside. What a sight. So, did Jesus take the napkin and put it in a place by itself? I don't know. Did one of the angels do it? Who knows? The Bible doesn't say who did it, but this detail is included in the scriptures and really gives us an awesome picture of what Peter saw that morning. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead in an instant of time. Jesus Christ in his resurrected body came right out of those grave wrappings. You know, in another gospel record you can read where God had an angel to roll away the stone. Well, why did God have an angel roll away the stone? Not so Jesus could get out, but so people could look in. And what Peter saw when he went in was just awesome. The cornerstone, the foundation of Christianity, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as you read the book of Acts and the church epistles, you see very clearly the great message of the first century church was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4, in verse 33, it says, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. They preached the resurrection, God raising Jesus Christ from the dead. And there's really a great verse in Acts 17 when Paul was in Athens. Acts 17, if you'd look at that. Oh, just a wonderful verse about the resurrection when Paul was up there on Mars Hill preaching. Acts 17, verse 31. Because he, God, has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all people in that he hath raised him from the dead. God's assurance unto all people that Jesus Christ is indeed the Savior is in that he raised him from the dead. It is the resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead to die no more, and that marks Jesus Christ out as the Redeemer of mankind. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he's not still alive. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead to die no more. It says in Romans 6, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. That has never happened to any other human being. And that in itself marks him out as Lord of all people who have ever lived. And as you know, it's in confessing or acknowledging that the Lord Jesus, that Jesus is Lord of all people, and believing God raised him from the dead, that's how a person gets saved and born again. We know that Ephesians tells us we're saved by grace, not by works. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, where is salvation? It's not there. And so for those of us who are born again, as we read God's word that pertains to people who are born again, we see that God has literally showered us with blessings. You know, Ephesians says we've blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. God has given us, his dear children, such great privileges. He's given us his Spirit with the ability to operate all nine manifestations, along with so many of the blessings that you read about in the church epistles, along with those exceeding great and precious promises. How can anyone who is born again see themselves as a victim? They either don't know or don't believe what God's word says for those who are born again. And really, the reality is, no matter what we're facing in this life, with God in Christ in us, with God's help and guidance, God said that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Because we are born again ones. Because we have accepted that Jesus Christ is Lord of all people and believed that God raised him from the dead. That gets us saved and born again. And that opens the floodgates for great blessings and privilege for us as born again ones. God said we are more than conquerors. It says, if God be for us, who can be against us? We're not victims. We're not helpless people. You know, it seems in our culture today, victimhood is promoted quite a bit. You know, victim because of this, and I'm a victim because of that, and therefore I'm helpless. And as a born-again one, helpless? A victim? Wow. How vital it is for our own personal lives to understand what Jesus Christ's life, death, and resurrection has made available for us who are born-again ones, more than conquerors. You know, I taught, I kind of expanded actually on this last night when I was teaching the guys at the Phoenix Rescue Mission, and how, you know, you can look at your circumstances and, you know, say, I'm a victim, I'm helpless. Or you can choose to look at what God's word says and believe it, you know, and believe the promises that God has given us. And, you know, with victimhood so prevalent in our society today, how needed this message is for people, right? The ramifications of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For those of us who are born again, the Bible says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Is that true? What do you need? Doesn't matter what category. My God shall supply all your need. The Bible says God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. The Bible says God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And so much more. God does not want his children to live their lives as victims. We're not helpless people. According to God's word, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're not helpless. And you know what? We're not hopeless either. Jesus Christ walked the earth in his resurrected body for 40 days, serving, teaching, and performing signs and miracles during that time. He was seen by hundreds of people before he ascended into heaven. The Bible promises us that one day, he's coming back to gather together those who believe in him. If you would, turn to Acts 1. In Acts chapter 1, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he had, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." During those 40 days, Jesus Christ was out serving and teaching things pertaining to the kingdom of God and doing many infallible proofs, it says, signs, miracles, and wonders. Verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me." This isn't the first time he talked to them about the promise of the Father, the coming of Holy Spirit. He talked to them many times as you read the Gospels. So he said, wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Are we in the end times? I think it's the end times, you know, still today, right? Still today, people are, you know, concerned about, is it the end times? I thought I saw a sign. I think this is, look what Jesus answered. He said to, verse 7, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." But let's get back to what I was talking about. "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And that must have been something to watch, right? And it says in verse 10, "While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up." And then they can't see him anymore, and they're still looking up. I would have too, right? Where did he go? We haven't seen this one. We've seen him walk on water. We've seen him do a lot of things. But this one, and they're just gazing up, looking. "And while they did that, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." A couple of angels came down. "Which said also, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." This same Jesus is coming back. We have such a great hope to look forward to. This same Jesus is coming back. Look at, before we close in Thessalonians, I'd like you to look at a verse in 1 Peter chapter 1. I was just going to read this verse to you, but I thought, let's all look at it together. It's beautiful. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Look at this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again. We're born again of God's Spirit. Born again once. Children of God. We are children of the Most High God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the reason we have hope, because God raised him from the dead to die no more, and God's going to send back this same Jesus to gather us together. And he is coming back one day to gather us. And I'd like to close in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Yeah, there is sorrow, but it's not the kind of sorrow that people that have no hope have. We have a hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. This is what's going to happen. That same Jesus, this same Jesus. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, this same Jesus, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Wow. And it's all because God raised him from the dead. And God has given assurance unto all people that he's the one, in that he raised him from the dead to die no more. Death hath no more dominion over Jesus Christ. And the day is coming for you and for me when corruptible will put on incorruption, mortal will put on immortality, and we will forever be with this same Jesus. What a hope we have. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ finished the Father's work and laid down his life for you and me. And then he was buried for 3 days and three nights, and God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He is risen. And this same Jesus is coming back to get us. Father, how thankful, blessed, excited we are to see these great truths in your word, and to know with an absolute certainty that we're not hopeless people, and we are one day closer to seeing Jesus Christ face to face in the clouds. And Father, that will absolutely happen. And until that day comes, Father, we're not helpless people either. You've given us so many wonderful rights, privileges, and abilities in the new birth, so many exceeding great and precious promises. Father, you have just so poured out your heart and love for your children, and may we believe your words. May we see what your word says and accept it and believe it and see it come to pass in our lives. Father, what a great message we have to give to other people, that they too can get born again, that they too can take advantage and trust in the living God who provides bountifully for his children. And on this very wonderful day of remembrance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're so grateful and thankful, Father, and we pray to you in that wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. By the way, when we get back to meeting together here in our home, I'm going to continue the phone hookup as well. I taught a similar version of this teaching last night at the men at Phoenix Rescue Mission, the Zoom teaching, and that video teaching is available on my YouTube channel, which you can access from the website. And this audio teaching here will be posted on the website in just a little while. So feel free to share either of those with anyone you think might be interested. Thank you for being here this morning. Enjoy the week ahead, remembering who you really are and what you have because of the completed work of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is risen. Have a blessed week. I love you, and may God bless you abundantly.